song, this song, this podcast has never sounded better. Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast of your first place Miami Dolphins. Woo! This is once again Sam Marcoux, once again Chris Cullen, the mayors of Perfectville, you, the citizens of Perfectville. Thanks once again for joining us. Chris Cullen, you just wooed, so I think I know the answer to this, but how the hell are you, Nature Boy?
Hear ye, hear ye. We are in first place, and it's Fuck the Jets week. I love it, dude. I am pumped.
Hashtag FTJ, fuck the Jets. Yes, we swear a lot on this show. Yes, if you're listening to this at work, make sure you have headphones in. But thank you for listening to this at work. Thank you for giving us all those reviews on iTunes and shouting us out on Twitter at Perfectville Pod, sending us emails at perfectvillepodcast@gmail.com. We love each and every one of you, and we love this Miami Dolphins team, especially when we're good and our number one rival, the New York Jets, is very, very bad. Chris,
so bad.
Have you looked at the stats through two games that the New York Jets have, quote unquote, put up? I don't know if they qualify to be a professional NFL team anymore.
No, I think I saw somewhere on Twitter that they're looking at replacing the Jets this year with a team from the SEC in college because they're just not entertaining for the NFL. And it's funny when the front office and sources come out for the Jets and say they're far from tanking. Mm. But then you look at everything they've done this offseason, trading Sheldon Richardson and all the things they didn't get better at in the positions of need. It's just clearly. They're looking for another quarterback in the 2018 draft. And now that there's the most Jet thing of all time is there's stories of these guys from Darnold from USC and then the other kid from Oklahoma and Penn State possibly staying another year, like pulling in Andrew Luck, because God forbid they end up in the New York Jets. They're going to it's just the most Jet thing ever. And I can't be happier. It's probably third place right now between being a father, getting married, and now the Jets just being such a dumpster fire.
Oh, I mean, the Winnipeg Jets can play better football of the NHL than the New York Jets can play. In skates, they would actually do better. I'm going to throw a couple things at you. Care to guess who has given up the most amount of points and has the most points per game in terms of a defense in the NFL?
I'd say it is in the Upper Empire State and rhymes with Fets.
Yeah, that would be the New York Jets, who have given up 66 points through two games for a 33-point-per-game average. Care to guess who has given up the most rush yards per game through two games so far this season?
I'm going to say it's a New Jersey team, but it's not the Giants.
Yeah, that would be the New York Jets again, who have given up 370 yards on the ground
for an average of drooling.
Yeah. Jay Ajayi has the biggest boner right now listening to this show, because that means they're averaging 185 yards that they are giving up. I mean, they give up more ground than a whore in church. I mean, this is insane how much they're giving up. Now, care to guess which team has given up the most passing yards through two games this season?
I have a feeling this might be a curveball, Sam, but I'm going to say the New York Jets.
Well, it's actually the New Orleans Saints.
I knew it, you bastard.
Yeah, yeah, you knew I was
going to. I knew it. They have a good safety. That kid they drafted in the first round's pretty good, but God, I know you too well.
It's the rule of three, but the Jets are 20th on passing as well, which means they're in the bottom, basically the bottom third of the league in pass defense. They're at the very bottom in rush defense, and of course, the very bottom in what matters the most, and that's points given up. Now, granted, the pass defense is maybe a little bit quote unquote better, but that's because you don't have to pass to beat these guys. You can just hand the ball to Jay Ajayi and let him run crazy on these guys, and Jay Cutler can pretty much take the day off. I mean, that's what it's looking like here right now, Chris, is that they can't stop anybody that's running with the ball.
Yeah, and you can listen back to one of our previous episodes when we went through the schedule here, and I think we both, other than not predicting game one being moved to week 11, I don't know how we didn't do that. We're usually pretty good in our schedule predictions.
We're pretty damn good, but we forgot to predict Hurricane. Yeah, well, that's our bad. We apologize for that.
I definitely predicted us killing San Diego or L.A., whatever you want to call it. I just got booed in the StubHub Center, but really, it's one of those things where we knew that we were coming in here with win. We figured we were, and the Jets were going to be one of those games. I think I predicted it in one of our previous shows that Matt Moore might get some playing time on Sunday, because there's no way they're just going to stop our offense. I am fully confident, and I know I have a lot of tendencies to have homer picks, when predicting our wins and losses. But really, there's just no way, unless something drastic happens, where they've been hiding eight guys or something that are just like creative player superstars with 99 overalls on Madden that are going to all of a sudden show up in their defense, that we're going to lose here. Because if you think about it, even their passing defense being quote unquote better, like you said, you got to remember in week one, they played the Bills. Like Tyrod Taylor, do you see what he just did against Carolina? No, he did nothing. Carolina right. literally didn't give up a touchdown. It was a horrible, boring 1 o'clock game again that I had to sit through, just like the New Orleans and New England game, because we played at four, where it was just a shit show of offensive performance there from the Bills. And they looked okay and good against the Jets. So, I mean, there's just no way, man. And really looking at it, there's still like 5,000 tickets available officially. Not even like on the road or through like StubHub. Officially through NFL Ticket Exchange and NFL.com, there's still 5,000 tickets available for this game. So get used to Let's Go Dolphin chants, because I know you follow them, Sam, and you retweeted them. The MetLife Takeover is going to be huge this year, and you're going to hear it on the TV.
Yeah, the MetLife Takeover, hashtag MetLife Takeover, has sold literally thousands of tickets to Dolph fans, which means not only did we turn the StubHub Center into Hard Rock Stadium West, but we're about to turn the MetLife Stadium into Hard Rock Northeast. I mean, this is going to be yet another home road game for the Miami Dolphins, I feel. And you know what? Rightfully so, because we're on the uptick. The Jets are just grounded. They can't get off the tarmac. And you know what? Again, they only have about one weapon that I'm concerned about, and that would be Jermaine Kearse, who they traded for right before the season started. He's got two touchdowns on the year. He's about the only guy in that passing attack that I would be concerned about, especially if you have somebody like Byron Maxwell covering him, because we all know what Byron Maxwell can and cannot do, more importantly, and that is cover a wide receiver. But that assumes that the New York Jets can actually have somebody throw the ball to Jermaine Kearse. And I look at that roster and I see who's playing for them and I see who's backing up who's playing for them. And I just don't see a quarterback even worth mentioning by name.
No, and I'll pile on a little bit further to this. And this is how bad Josh McCown is. I saw him at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Matthews, North Carolina. He was with his family. So he was like two booths away, and I noticed him because he just like looks like, you know, this white blonde hair. He looks like Draco Malfoy basically as an adult from Harry Potter. And he's 6'5 or 6'4 or 6'3, whatever. You can't miss him. He's definitely taller than a normal average man. This is this is how bad Josh McCown is. My wife goes, "Hey, he looks familiar." And my dad goes, "Yeah, I think that's Josh McCown." I was like, "Oh, yeah, who gives a shit?" And, like, we just kept eating. Like, it was like – and this was, like, a year or so ago. So if that was literally any other 31 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, I probably would have like got lightheaded and been like, holy shit, like I'm a huge NFL football fan. Should I say something to him? Like, I didn't even debate it. I like took a bite of a wing, looked over and was like, yeah, it is. Yeah. Who gives a shit? And like, just kept eating. Like, he literally is irrelevant. He's so irrelevant that he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's completely lame duck. He is completely not the future. We know that the Jets are tanking and they just grabbed the first warm body that can throw a football 30 yards and signed him to a contract that didn't bankrupt them and it affect their cap in the future. So this guy is so, that's it. You see him at Buffalo Wild Wings and you don't care. And if I can say, he played for the Carolina Panthers. Not one person went up to him at all during the entire dinner. No one cares about Josh McCown.
Yeah, he was at Buffalo Wild Wings on a like 50-cent Thursday and he was probably getting boneless wings.
What a
douche. Because he's lazy
who
as shit. And he probably got mild and Parmesan garlic. The two worst sauces you can get at B-dubs. But that's, you know what? That's a total Josh McCown thing.
It's all about the Asian zing, man.
Doing Josh Asian zing. That's right. You're absolutely right. But enough about food, because I'm getting hungry. And you know who else is going to be hungry? And that's going to be this defense against Josh McCown and this horrible, horrible offense on the Jets. Look, we got one sack against Phillip Rivers. We've got some people that are supposed to be sack masters in Cameron Wake. You've got people that thrive on beating up the quarterback in Ndamukong Suh. And you've got a rookie who's looking to redeem himself. Charles Harris did not look good against the Los Angeles Chargers, Chris. Notably, I think one was that he did not contain on his end and actually had not Melvin Gordon but the other midget running back run right by him for a huge game, and I think he's looking to redeem himself, and I think this is the perfect recipe, speaking of food, for him to do that. I think you have a line that's given up five sacks, so 2.5 sacks per game, Josh McCown, I think, is probably going to be introduced to that front seven of the Miami Dolphins defense early and often.
Yeah, I think we're going from a team with a lot of weapons to a team with no weapons, really. And I think that totally equates to a perfect recipe, if I can follow your lead, Sam, where Josh McCown's not going to have a lot of time to throw because our pass rush is going to get there and we're going to have good coverage. I know there was a lot of missing pieces there when you think about our pass coverage against the Chargers. But you're playing against Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry, and Antonio Gates with Melvin Gordon in the background. So you got to keep like a lot of linebackers, and you can't really go nickel and dime on your defense or else you're going to give up a lot of runs. So in this scenario where we play New York, New Jersey, we're going to really – come in there now, and I think we're going to just pin our ears back and go because I think we trust Xavien Howard to cover their number two. We can trust Sleeves to cover whoever you mentioned, this guy, basically the Byron Maxwell of the wide receiver crew of the Seattle Seahawks, forgettable, a curse, I think it is. But with Rashad Jones over the top, I mean, we can trust those guys are going to do their job, and we can pin our ears back and we can go. And I think Cam Wake, I agree with you, Cam Wake, Harris, Branch are going to feast. They really are, and they always have. I think we've always pressured, especially in New York. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's they get up with the road crowd that travels and really pumps them up. I think that's something that really motivates these guys, and they always do well. I mean, the famous sandwich hit last year with Sue and Wake happened in New York. So you know these guys are hungry, and they definitely want to prove that it wasn't a fluke last week.
Yeah, and I think what they're looking to do on defense, Chris, I think the mentality for the Miami Dolphins is they need to redeem themselves.
Yes.
I mean, the offense played very, you know, enough. They didn't get into the end zone as often as we'd like. I don't think that'll be a problem against the Jets. I fully expect Jay Cutler to have a couple of touchdown passes. I expect Jay Ajayi to pop his touchdown cherry this week. I expect us to get into the 20s, if not the 30s, against this New York Jets team on offense. I'm not worried about what we're going to see out of them. But what I'm most interested in is that defense. I do think that the defensive backs need to have some sort of redemption, whether that's forcing a fumble, whether that's pass, you know, breaking up some passes, whether that's coming in on a blitz and hitting the quarterback, or just plain old interceptions. I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like, but that defensive backfield needs some confidence because they did get tore up against Phillip Rivers and the Los Angeles Chargers. I expect the defensive line to get a lot of pressure. I expect them to be stout against the run, and I'm really interested to see what we're going to do in that middle linebacker spot. I mean, Ray Ray is still injured. Lawrence Timmons is still waiting for a plane back to Philadelphia, and we've got a new guy, Stephon Anthony, as we talked about on the last podcast, Chris, who may or may not even play in this game based on how quickly he can get up to speed in a very, very short amount of time. I'm very interested in what the linebackers are going to look like, what the core is going to look like for this game, but I don't think it's really going to matter because I think our talent, even if we're looking at our second, third, fourth string linebackers, is still going to trump anything the Jets can put out there in terms of offense.
Yeah, absolutely. On paper, we definitely are the better team. So this is on coaching. This is going to be about Matt Burke, and it's going to be about Adam Gase getting these guys together and keeping them focused, keeping them really honed in on coming in here, doing your job, and beating the New York Jets. Because whether it's Stephon Anthony or Mike Hull at middle, they're both like really known for their run stopping. So if they stop Matt Forte, that's fine. We just need these guys to step up when it comes to the pass downs on third down and second and longs, things like that, so we can give our guys time to get pressure on Josh McCown. Because this guy is not a world beater. This is another Matt Moore. This is a guy that has traveled around, been serviceable, somebody that you like in the locker room, and you're willing to pay $1, $2 million a year to really be a spot starter or in a solid backup to where you're not going to lose a game and get yourself out of playoff position if your starting quarterback needs to miss one or two games. Now he is their starting quarterback. So that's the kind of guy you like foam at the mouth for when you're Ndamukong Suh and Cam Wake. You want to get to this guy because there's a reason he hasn't been handed the keys to a franchise. There's a reason why he's not the starting quarterback for a really, really good team. Like it's a team like the Jets or the Browns always goes and gets these guys, the Brian Hoyers and Josh McCown. So they're going to be foaming at the mouth. They just got to do their job behind them in the back seven, and I think they're going to do that.
And you mentioned Mike Hull. I mean, we joked about Mike Hull and his shoulder pads of doom from last year. I mean, the guy's nickname is now Landlord because he looks like he's renting out apartments on his shoulders there. But he's not the only linebacker for the Miami Dolphins, Chris, that has his own side business. As you know, we are very popular here at Perfectville. We've been getting sponsors and just products that are actually endorsed by players from the Miami Dolphins. And this week is no different, Chris. You know this. I know this. I'm happy and proud to welcome our new sponsor to the show. Let's throw it to the commercial. I'm super excited about this. Again, much like the other products, I think this is going to sell out in a heartbeat. So let's check it out. Let's pay some bills, and we'll be back to finish up this preview of the FTJ, Fuck the Jets versus the Dolphins.
In a world where bad things happen, things go missing, people you love and trust stab you in the back, you need help. And only one man is here to have your side through thick and thin. That man is Lawrence Timmons and his Never Left Behind PI Service. Lawrence Timmons PI Service is there any time of day when you need someone there to have your back. We work day and night, never breaching our contract once signed, to provide you the services you signed us up to do. Call today for a free quote and we will throw in a fully stocked emergency bug out bag for free, just for hearing about our services. When the duty calls and Sunday is around the corner, you'll never know when you'll need your fully stocked bug out bag to be with you when you go missing back home to Pennsylvania when you need supplies. Hurry, this offer ends indefinitely, so go to welcometoperfectville.com for your free, no-hassle quote.
See, you can be positive. You can have a side hustle or a business, even if you aren't playing football, Chris. I think that's a fantastic service that Lawrence Timmons is providing to the people of Miami, to the citizens of Perfectville, and to the United States of America as a whole.
That's what you call striking when the iron is hot, Sam. His name's out there. He started a business. More power to him. If I ever suspect my wife is cheating or my son is being bullied or something like that, I'm certainly calling Lawrence Timmons private investigation for sure.
Yeah, and if you don't know what his phone number is, just pick up a milk carton anywhere in the United States. And they have his his face and the phone number for the service right there on the milk carton, so it shouldn't be too hard to find. And you're right, his name is out there. The one thing that's not out there is him on the field, as he is, again, still suspended indefinitely. But that is our latest sponsor. Check it out. You can only find those services on welcometoperfectville.com. The other thing you can find on welcometoperfectville.com is the return of the Almost Doctor, Will Marin, Chris. Have you noticed?
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't know what cave this guy has been in where he's been practicing medicine. He's out there, if you can believe this, helping people. Isn't that ew? Doesn't that make you feel dirty? He's out there just like helping people.
Like, he better be getting paid. That is gross.
Look, I feel like we're helping people, but that's because we're staying inside of our own houses, talking into a microphone, not giving a shit if anybody's actually listening or not. He's actually, like, touching sick people, like, you know, like, helping put bones back into the skin and all that gross stuff. And yet he still found time to actually reintroduce and reinvigorate the Finjury Report. So you can go to welcometoperfectville.com and check out the weekly Finjury Report with Almost Dr. Will Maring, which takes us to the first injury report of the week, Chris. Why don't we go ahead and throw it over to sideline reporter extraordinaire, that would be me, in a radio voice. Let's throw it to me, Chris, with the audio version of the Finjury Report.
Thank you, Podcasting Sam. This is Sideline Reporter Sam, reporting here with the Finjury Report. Week 3 against the New York Jets in New Jersey at the Meadowlands at MetLife Stadium. What was I talking about? Oh, yes. The Finjury Report. Running back Jay Ajayi did not practice on Wednesday with a bum knee. Wide receiver Jarvis, Landry, also did not practice today because of a knee. No reports yet if it is the same knee as Jay Ajayi or if it is in fact a separate knee. More reports are needed. Linebacker Ray Maliuga did not practice because he's fat. Also because he has a hamstring injury. And, of course, defensive tackle Jordan Phillips was also not practicing today. Not because he was injured, but because he is benched so badly that he can't even practice. Actually, he has a bad ankle, but that's the unofficial reason. Three players were limited for the Dolphins on Wednesday. Wide receiver Devontae Parker with a bad ankle. Center Mike Pouncey with a bum hip, bum knee, bum leg, bum shoulder, bum neck, earache, headache, toothache was also limited. And, of course, a backup running back named Damian Williams with sore ribs and hurt feelings. That is your Finjury Report for Week 3 against the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium at the Meadowlands in New Jersey, not New York. Fins up, FTJ.
And there you have it, Chris. A lot of well-known names for the Miami Dolphins on the Finjury Report early this week. Any concerns there with Jarvis Landry not participating in practice today due to a knee injury?
No, and my future brother-in-law actually texted me and said, hey, I got Landry on my fantasy team. What's up with him? And I'm like, dude, look, he's on a bike off to the side. He's fine. And he's like, no, he's questionable. I'm like, yeah, he was last week too, and he had 14 catches for 80 yards. We're fine. Don't worry about Jarvis Landry. Look, Adam Gase is one of those no-nonsense coaches. He doesn't have to do it how you say he has to do it, and he doesn't have to do it by the book. If anything, this is more along the lines of New England, of how we're just like sitting guys out. We know they can play. There's no reason you go out there and get hurt doing some nonsense that we know you can do, like run a two route or something like that. Like, we got it. We know what you can do. Chill out. Handle your business and come out Sunday and kick some ass and win the game for the Miami Dolphins. So seeing those big names out there is no big deal. If you actually know how Adam Gase is running things right now, that's the reason Tom Brady always has this mysterious elbow or shoulder injury that puts him on the injured list before the game. I don't know if it's causing false hope or if it's just giving him a reason to sit him out on practice and he's not criticized or questioned about it. Who knows? But I'm not worried about any of those names on that list.
Yeah, there's a couple things people need to remember, too. There is no longer a probable setting when it comes to the injury report. It's just you're questionable or not. So there is no probable, which used to at least let us know, oh, it's a minor injury, he should be fine. The NFL got rid of that. So you can only be listed as questionable, and you have to be listed on the injury report if you are limited in any way or do not participate in practice in any way, shape, or form. So we have to, by league rules, put him on there. Now, what the Patriots used to do is, it's such a joke, this reporting system. It's really for gambling purposes, and I will applaud Bill Belichick for this. He would list everybody and their mother for any little thing. He'd make somebody take a playoff just to drink some water and then have to put him on the injury report. And the guy made a mockery of it, and it just used to drive gamblers crazy, because all of a sudden Tom Brady shows up as questionable. So I don't think that's what Adam Gase is doing. I think he's just saying, you know what, they had to sit out this practice, or they had to take a breather here, there, and everywhere. I have to officially put them on the report. That's what it is. I mean, I think Jay Ajayi is going to play. I think Jarvis Landry is going to play. Jordan Phillips will probably be on the sidelines, so maybe we should be concerned about him. But that's not due to an injury. That's just due to the fact that he's fat and lazy and probably will not be doing too much. I think I only heard his name once called once during the Los Angeles Chargers game. And then Mike Pouncey. Mike Pouncey was limited, but he's on that day on, day off thing. And you consider the fact that Mike Pouncey has barely been practicing, did not really play in preseason at all. He looked phenomenal. I did not give him enough props against the Chargers, Chris, but Mike Pouncey looked like he was his old self that has no injury history whatsoever. If we can keep this going, if this actually works, this routine of limiting the amount of practice that he has, which keeps him fresh for the games, look out. Jay Ajayi might be the MVP of the league in terms of rushing the ball, because Mike Pouncey is a stud at center.
Yeah, Adam Gase is onto something here, because not only him, I think we've discussed it in the past, he is the anchor of this offensive line. So, like, when he's there, everybody's job is easier. The quarterback, the guys next to him, everybody. And other than Tunzel's pass blocking, I mean, our old Travis Wingfield, give him a shout out, he tweeted out some awesome GIFs in videos from the game, the Chargers game, where Jawan James, of all people, was just mauling these guys. And he's getting to the second level, as was Bushrod, as was Tunzel. And if you look at these GIFs and these videos of this offensive line, it was actually very surprising to me. I was sitting there on my lunch break watching Travis's Twitter feed and looking at all these things. And I was very surprised, Sam. I don't know if maybe I just don't look at offensive lines that often and really just like kind of hone in and look at them. But it looked like we were just moving at an insane pace, like very fast. Like, as soon as that ball was snapped, you had five guys in unison, like going all the way from like the right hash mark to the left hash mark for a stretch play to Ajayi to the left. And they're just getting downhill, getting to the second level and making plays. That offensive line looked awesome. And I think you're absolutely right. What Adam Gase is doing with Mike Pouncey might be the difference of us having a winning season, going to the playoffs or not. I mean, it's just genius what Adam Gase has decided to do.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Pouncey is contagious, and I mean that in a good way. I mean, when he's out there, everyone else around him, he literally makes everyone else around him better. And when he's not there, this team feels it. We saw that last year. Mm. We saw it during the preseason, and then we saw it week one. I mean, all of a sudden, Mike Pouncey's in there, and this team can move the ball again. So
first 100-yard rusher against the Chargers in 17 games. Yeah, and I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, and we're about to do that again against the Jets. This will be the first 100-yard rusher they've given up in 6 days. So, you know, it's going to be another record-setting performance against a team in the New York, New Jersey Jets. Chris, before we get out of here, we're previewing this. We talked about the offense. We talked about the defense. We really didn't talk about special teams. Obviously, we got our secret weapon in the boy wonder, Cody Parkey. But is there anything in particular that we haven't touched on yet that you are looking for, that you're going to be focused on in this game? Defense, offense, special teams. Is there a certain player or a certain type of play or anything at all that you want to see out of this team that we have not touched on yet?
Yeah, and I think that person is Rashad Jones. Mm. I think it's somebody that we harped on and made a very big excuse for our team not having success anytime we didn't last year. It was like, well, if we had Rashad Jones, or well, if we had Rashad Jones. Rashad Jones disappointed me a little bit on Sunday, and it was just like I don't think he was around the ball a lot. He gave up a lot of plays, had that horrible pass interference in the end zone that was just kind of ticky-tacky, of course. But as a veteran, you got to know not to do that stuff. Turn your head around. It was uncatchable anyway, but still, just don't make those plays. Don't give him the opportunity to throw that flag. And that's something that Rashad Jones needs to do better at. And I think he got a little rust. Of course, he missed a lot of games last year. So I'm not in any means beating the guy down. I love Rashad Jones to death, but I fully expect him to come out Sunday against the Jets and totally have himself a Rashad Jones type of game. And it is, if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, you know exactly what that means. So I'm definitely gonna be looking for number 20 to go out there and wreak some havoc.
Yeah, particularly in the pass game. I mean, I thought he did okay against the run. He did come up a couple times and stuff Melvin Gordon. But in the passing game, he was shaky. And again, it is Phillip Rivers. It is Keenan Allen. It is, you know, Hunter Henry and all these talented guys playing there for the Los Angeles Chargers. But there were a couple of plays where he was just late. Normally, he would be there. He'd be knocking the ball down or separating the receiver from the ball or intercepting the ball. And he was just late. And you could tell that he was kind of clapping his hands in frustration afterwards that he didn't get there in time. And I don't know if that was just him reading the play a little bit late and reacting late, or if he just physically couldn't get there. But that's a good call. That's somebody we should definitely be taking a look at in terms of how he plays against this putrid, awful New York Jets team. The guy I'm going to be looking for is also on defense. I had mentioned him a little bit earlier. I want to see how Charles Harris redeems himself. I think this is a game that's tailor-made for him to kind of get off the schneid, if you will, make some plays, set that edge, get to Josh McCown or whoever's going to be back there by the time Josh McCown gets knocked out of this game or has to order more Buffalo Wild Wings. You know, it'd be funny if he was at Buffalo Wild Wings and that was like an official appearance and nobody went up to get an autograph. Yeah, like he was just there like, okay, guys, I'm here to sign autographs. And people are like, yeah, but we're here for the bottomless sodas and the carrots.
His wife's like, let's just look normal and save the embarrassment.
Yeah, let's just go order, you know, somebody go get a table and let's just make it look like we're eating here. but yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I want to see Charles Harris. This kid, I thought, got lambasted in the offseason and preseason by a bunch of people, and he didn't do anything to shut anybody up week one. So I'd like for him to come out and just basically make everyone button up that lip and say, you know what, Charles Harris is a player and he's going to be here for a very long time. So you've got Rashad Jones. I've got Charles Harris. I think we both have the Miami Dolphins beating the crap out of the New York Jets. Last in points given up. Last in yards given up on the ground. This is a terrible team defensively. This is a very bad team offensively. I see no reason why the Miami Dolphins shouldn't be walking out of here, getting on a plane and flying to London undefeated atop the AFC East.
Yeah, absolutely. I got us 28-10. I don't think it's going to be anywhere close. I think we actually might even pull the dogs off a little bit towards the end and start just pounding the rock with Damian Williams and stuff and playing conservative, because I really think Adam Gase has his team focused. He's not going to let a divisional game get in the way like they used to back in the day when we really needed to get that win against one of these teams that we're better than on paper. I mean, we really are. And it's really awesome that we're getting this New York game out of the way in September. So I think this is all going to lead into great things for us at 2-0 already, as opposed to 1-4 where we started last year. If Adam Gase can really get this team steamrolling downhill, the sky's the limit, man. We got a tough schedule coming up, but if we can really gel together, get McDonald back after week 8, who knows? Watch out.
Yeah, you got him 28-10. I got him 27-7. I think I'll spot him a touchdown. In the past, this game would worry me. This would be a little bit of a trap game because the Miami Dolphins have a tendency to play down to their opponent. But one thing I'm noticing with Adam Gase is that, if nothing else, the Miami Dolphins beat the teams that they are supposed to beat, whether it's pretty or not. This is a team that will get past a team that's inferior than them, and the New York Jets are clearly inferior to the Miami Dolphins. I have us going 2-0 heading into London Week 4 against the New Orleans Saints, who, by the way, if you didn't see already, are awful against the pass. So keep an eye out for that next week. But that is next week. This is this week. We are in Perfectville two times this week, Chris. I know you're getting ready to go on vacation. I'm getting ready to go on vacation. Where are you going to be watching this game this week?
O-Town, man. Central Florida. If anybody's going out to Universal City Walk, hit us up.
There you go. You know where Chris will be. If you have yourself a Perfectville Sip Sack koozie, go ahead and bust that out. Take some pictures. Go say hi to Chris. He'll have his. You'll know who Chris is because he's going to be the guy that's drinking, yelling, screaming, and wearing Dolphins gear in the middle of Central Florida there. And then, yeah, I'm going to be up on the northern part of Northern California doing some family stuff, but I will be somehow illegally watching this game from some sort of stream. Don't come see me. If you come up to me and talk to me, I'll probably just, you know, awkwardly shake your hand and leave because I'm weird. But that's where we're going to be. We'll be watching this game. You guys watch the game. Tell us where you're going to be watching it. Post those pictures. Follow us on Twitter at Perfectville Pod. Send us an email, perfectvillepodcast@gmail.com. Chris, anything else you'd like to say before we skedaddle out of town here?
Fuck the Jets.
Fuck the Jets. Hashtag FTJ. Hashtag Perfectville. Thanks again, everyone, for listening to this. This is Perfectville, and the only thing left to say is goodbye from Perfectville.
Later.
Perfectville.